Welcome back to More Than Money and 770 CHQR, and I am joined with David Fingold, Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager at Dynamic Funds. We work very closely together in regards to our portfolio, our five pillars in the U.S. and global side, so I'm very happy to have you here live in studio. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
So there's a lot of stuff going on, from politics to trade war to to a trade deal between North America, all these different news stories. I call them sometimes distractions. I'm always fascinated with the way that you look at the world and you look at investments, especially valuations and so forth. So I really want to get into the conversation with you about how you see from a global economic perspective, and how does it impact the way you pick stocks, either on the Canadian, sorry, American side or on the global side?
Certainly, and I think you're right in pointing them out as distractions. There always is something happening. Much of the news that we read is threatening and sounds threatening, and it has been for all of our lives and all of our parents' lives. I think that it's the nature of the media to be somewhat sensational, to try to drive viewership or to drive readership, that in fact leads them to exaggerate these things. Yet, you know, we have continued, regardless of all the threats we've read about for the last 30, 40, 50 years.
So kind of walk through. You're managing a lot of money, and you're managing people's money where they don't understand or see a systematic approach to picking investments like you do. Kind of walk us through what your process is to get a company into your portfolio, or how do you kick a company out of your portfolio, so people can get an idea that it's not always what they read on the headlines. It's more of the work that you do behind the scenes.
Right. So my job is actually relatively simple, because at any given time, we only need 25 companies to build a portfolio. One gets the maximum diversification effect to 25 companies. In fact, at 18 companies, one gets almost the entire diversification effect. So that makes it relatively easy. We have a global and a U.S. portfolio, so theoretically we need up to 50 companies, but in practice we only need 40 or 50. The other thing is, we don't have to change them constantly. If we've got a good investment idea, it can work for us for years. So once the initial portfolio is in place, then we're just working methodically through the buy and sell discipline. Now, if I can break that down, the buy discipline is very easy to explain. It's less important than the sell discipline, and I'll tell you why in a moment. We invest in companies that have got what we call a quality management. What we're looking for more than anything, beyond even the judgment of management, which must be there, is to see that they're eating their own cooking. Even in large companies where the management team may only own a few percent of the company, we want to see that that's important to their net worth. And we want to look at how they're compensated and make sure their compensation is aligned with shareholders. We want to avoid the managements that are gambling to try to earn their compensation. The other thing that's important to us is a sustainable competitive advantage in the business. Mr. Buffett calls that a moat around the business. The next important thing to us is to see high returns in the company. So I'm going to get into a few accounting measures, but the most important ones to us are return on invested capital, operating profit margin, and free cash flow as a percentage of revenues. The most important piece of the buy criteria is companies that are creditworthy. Now, this sounds a little strange, because I'm an equity manager, and usually you hear about credit from fixed income managers. Yeah. But for anybody who ever took finance in school, we know from basic principles that before the bondholders can lose a penny, the equity holders need to be wiped out. So as an equity holder, I think it's very important that we understand the credit of the company, because we have to sustain the first loss if there's trouble. So we interview management, and we need to know all their covenants. We need to get their help modeling their sources and uses of cash. And through that process, we've avoided companies that have gone bankrupt. The final thing we look for on the buy side is something called optionality. And what that really is a asymmetric skew of risk-reward. Okay, that's very technical. But what that means is that if we model out a reasonable bear case, what if something reasonable went wrong at this company? How much can we lose? If that number is more than 20%, we move on to the next idea. So what we're looking for is where there's an asymmetry, where the upside opportunity is greater than the downside opportunity. I know a lot of my competitors and peers would say that if there's a huge upside opportunity, but you could lose half your money, my reaction to that is you lost me when you said you could lose half your money. We simply don't do that. We're very conservative. We will avoid anything that reasonably could lose more than 20%. There is a reason why the sell discipline is more important than the buy discipline. And that is because if we're buying profitable, well-managed, well-financed companies that are growing, if we have any kind of patience, we're going to earn a profit. And if you think I just paraphrased Charlie Munger, I did. And also, if we're patient for long enough, we beat the averages. So the key is to kick the losers out of the portfolio. If you've got a portfolio that should win, then all you need to do is minimize mistakes. So if management lies to us, we sell. I don't think I should have to explain that to anybody. We don't do business with liars. And if there's a material adverse change, we sell. And this is a tougher one to understand, but Superman has kryptonite, and every company can potentially have a material adverse change. You know, we had invested in Lehman Brothers. We made a lot of money in Lehman Brothers, but during the spring and summer of 2007, their business conditions deteriorated to the point where they could not generate any excess capital, and that meant they could not grow, so we sold the stock. It's important to understand that the valuation really doesn't matter. If a company can't meet its obligations, then it's going to go down. The third reason to sell is if it's a cyclical and the cycle's over. Now, I know there are managers who will not own cyclicals. I'm not one of those. I will invest in them when they're out of favor. But when times are good, we need to watch out for the end of the cycle. And when the cycle's over, we sell. I like to call this Homer Simpson's principle, which is never forget to sell your pumpkin futures before Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, the example I usually give here has to do with the fertilizer business. We made an investment in 2004 in Israel Chemical. It was the world's low-cost producer of potash fertilizer. They had the longest reserve life in the world of potash. We did incredibly well in the next 4 years, but then in the spring of 2008, the farmers in the developing world lost access to credit. I had the experience to know that that's bad. That had happened in the spring of 98, and that had ended the 1990 cycle in fertilizers, so we moved on. So I love cyclicals when they're out of favor, but when it's over, we get out and we own none of it. And the sell is simply more important than the buy. This is somewhat controversial. Ben Graham wrote a very long time ago that the money's made on the purchase. And I understand that the potential is made by buying a company with very high potential. But if something goes bad, sell is much more important because we need to preserve the gains we've made.
And that's the key difference in how people manage money, how you have done versus your peers in the industry, a fantastic track record. And we're going to talk about how does the U.S. Strategy fit in with our five-pillar investment strategy approach. We'll be doing that on Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. You need to reserve your seat. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethemoneyradio.com. Now, stay tuned. At the next segment, after the break, we're going to talk about China, U.S., recession, stock market crash with David Fingold. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.